We don't like it if someone calls us a fool. But have you ever been foolish? Have you ever made foolish decisions? Have you ever had someone make a fool out of you? Or have you ever walked in my footsteps and made a fool out of yourself by not choosing to make wise decisions? Have you ever been fooled in such a manner that it hurt you or it hurt others because of the horrible consequences that come as a result of foolishness and being made a fool of by the great deceiver, the great mocker? And now, sitting here, even today, you may be paying the consequences of foolish decisions. Yes, foolish decisions you may have made, or the foolish decisions that others have made in your life, perhaps even within your own family or friends or those that you associate with. And you realize that there indeed, at times, are harsh consequences. People all the time that we minister to are facing the reality that there are consequences, good for wise choices and bad for foolish choices. And you can't always make everything all better again. Not in this present world. The good news is that we can always make things better in a spiritual sense with our God if we make wise choices. So if you have been made the fool, if you've been played the fool, you've made foolish decisions, you need to know you're not alone. Oh, I don't know how much comfort we can take from that. Well, I'm not the only fool on this ship. No, people have been making foolish choices for a long time. Thank you, Brandon, for that prayer. Did you listen to his prayer? He said something wise. He said, may the words that are spoken here, in this case by me, make sure that they're not my words, but whose words, young people? God's word. Let me ask you, how will you know if what I am speaking is God's word? What? All right. Is this the embarrassing part? Do you have it? You see, when you're listening to someone, even if they have a tie, even if they're wearing a coat, and they're called teacher, they're called preacher, or called mom and dad, or whatever, and they're sharing God's wisdom, the best way to be assured that that prayer that Brandon prayed about it being God's word is to have his word to measure it against, to see whether or not it's true. So I encourage you to turn to Genesis. You see, people have been deceived for a long time. People have been made fools of and made foolish decisions right back to the beginning. And we read about that, don't we, in Genesis. The creation of man. And I am so glad that he made man and did not leave him in the garden alone and made woman. And together there they were. And we can read about that. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Oh, and the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden. There he placed a man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life, an important tree, also in the midst of the garden. And then another important tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Two trees there, other trees, but these have special significance. Because the story about foolishness and wisdom plays out right from early in creation, doesn't it? And it's a lesson that those of us who seek wisdom, whether we are 12 and sitting here, or whether we are well into our 80s, and we have people well into their 80s sitting here, And they're here because there's preaching, and they're here because they're disciples of Christ, and none of them have thought they have fully arrived, and they are still seeking out God's wisdom. So they make a wise choice, and they come to assemble, to be encouraged, to be built up. Do you know that in your singing that it encourages? Were you encouraged? I'm encouraged when I hear you singing words that build me up in God, in the Lord. I'm encouraged when I hear others praising, acknowledging God is the true and living God. That's a part of our worship, and this is part of our worship, and the prayer was part of our worship. And it's important. The Lord God, in verse 16, commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For on the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." That's our Creator talking to His first man. How many of you think this looks like the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Wait a minute, no one? Thank you, Jasmine. How many can prove that it doesn't look like this? One? It's supposed to be an apple. This very well may be the actual fruit, because right on it, it says, fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So if you read it, it must be true, right? If we read it, even more powerfully, if we read it on the internet, what more documentation do you need? Well, I threw that away, which maybe I shouldn't have. How wise would it be if I stood up here with a syringe with a needle, injected rat poison into it right in front of you, and said, "Don't eat this. If you eat this, that poison is going to kill you." How much wisdom does it take to not eat this fruit? Well, then you got the bad guy in the crowd. You know, go ahead and eat it. I want to see what happens. You think you'll eat it? And you know, you can get people to eat things that are bad for them. McDonald's proves that. And I'm living proof that there are plenty of people willing to make foolish decisions when it comes to eating. But not spiritual food. I want to make wise decisions. It's pretty clear. When you think about what they had there in the garden, eat freely of everything. And one of them is a tree of life. And as long as you eat from that tree, you will not die. Wow. That's promise. You will live forever. I'm blessing you. I've created you. I put you in a beautiful place, giving you a good job. Did you know that Adam, he didn't just get to go trout fishing? It's not even mentioned. He had a job to tend. Young men, God intends for us to work, and He did even in the garden. It is good. It's from God. He blessed them, and because He did not make us robots, He gave us liberty to reject Him. Thus, that tree that He was told, do not eat from. And He clearly told us the consequences. You make a wise choice in the garden, you will live. You make a foolish choice, you will die. So people have been making choices, both wise and foolish, for a long time. But it wasn't just Adam, was it, ladies? And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Gentlemen, what an awesome blessing. What an awesome blessing. The Lord recognized, it's not good for you to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. And He said in verse 18, I will make him a helper comparable to him. And the wise man seeks out a wise, godly woman. Ladies, you have that same choice towards ultimately when you're old enough to court and to consider picking a spouse. Make a wise choice. God created man to be in fellowship with him. He gave Adam a great deal of liberty and blessings. One of those blessings was woman. He provided everything and beyond that they needed. He gave Adam and Eve the choice to be wise and to listen and obey him, or to lose their freedom, or to use their freedom and to make a very foolish decision. And that decision had serious consequences either way. For as long as they decided to follow their God, they had life and they had blessings. But if they were rejecting God, you will die. You know, for all of us, I'm thinking particularly of you young adults, but it applies to me, even though the vast majority of my life is behind me in the physical sense, but I have eternal life ahead of me as you do. So it applies to all of us, but He has given you and me that very same choice. And we can have the very same blessings that come from making the wise choice. Life. Even eternal life. And yet the consequences that were so severe, we think, they ate some fruit. Wow. They're kicked out of the garden, no longer had access to the tree of life. And a lot of other things. Sin was in the world and all the consequences. And even innocent people suffered as a result of an unwise choice by two individuals, Adam and Eve. It's so fun at times to think of the similarities between man and woman. God created us in His image. And yet we know there's some differences. And He designed it that way. And they're remarkable and they're a blessing to us. And at times I find humor in it. So our young people have heard me a little bit say, you know, Adam was fine until the woman, you know. But the reality is, Adam and Eve were there together. When the fool maker came, when the liar and the deceptive entity came, it was Adam and his wife. Guys, we cannot blame Eve. I'm repenting of that. I may use a little humor from time to time, but Adam had a responsibility. They were together. The serpent, Satan, came to Eve, and he changed God's word. Just changed it a little bit. On the day you eat from that tree, you will surely die. And Satan says, you will surely not die. Are you telling me we need to pay that much attention to God's word? Yes. It can be a few words missing or added that have eternal consequences. The wise person pays attention to God's word, and we desire to know His word and not Kevin's opinion about His word. Can we have opinions about it, have education? Yes, but God's word is the only thing that is His word. And we need to pay attention to all of it because of the consequences, both good and bad, that come from not paying attention. So, she was deceived and she ate of the fruit and gave to her husband who was standing there, and he did what, guys? The great big head of the family. Well, he's the head of the family. And he ate. And the consequences were severe. They're enumerated right there for you to read. And there's consequences today. Are you paying attention, or are you being made the fool by the evil one? Are his agents Are people who follow him, are you being made a fool the way Adam and Eve did? Adam should have stood up when he saw his wife being deceived and said, "Satan, get out of here." Honey, don't listen to him. Our God said, "Do not eat from it." Are you paying attention, sweetie, dear wife? He should have defended, shouldn't he? But he just, oh. Says she was deceived. Adam wasn't. Which is worse? They both had eternal consequences, but young men, I think Adam's was worse. He did it with full knowledge. He was a coward. He did not stand up and take his responsibility to defend his family, to stand up for God. And it says, because you listen to your wife. It actually says that. Now, is he saying, men, never listen to your wives? No. You listen to your wife when she's listening to the Word of God. And young ladies, you listen to people, your fathers and your other husband in the future, if that's to be, when they are speaking from God's Word. It's really, were you listening to God or were you listening to Satan? And the man, full knowledge, just did it. And that tends to be our nature at times. We see it. There's different natures. Women sometimes are deceived because they are not at times as willing just to boldly sin. Guys, we tend to just be, wow, I know this is wrong, but I just desire this right now and I'm going to do it. I'm either going to do it or I'm going to refuse to do what I'm supposed to do as a spiritual person. They were made to be fools. They had an awesome environment. What better job? Look at the benefits. You're in this lovely garden and you're walking with God in fellowship with the Creator. And then a choice. Choices. And they were adult. And some of you young adults are at the point where God holds you just as accountable as He did Adam and Eve. Others, you're still developing. Everything, your mind and brain are developing, and you're not there yet, but pay attention to God's Word. Because you see, you're all going to have choices, and you all get to an age where you have a choice. Am I going to follow my Creator and be wise and have the blessings? Not just an eternal life, young people. He wants you to be blessed now, to have an abundant life now. He doesn't want all that heartache to be in your life. He doesn't want the heartache that's come because in some of your lives, people have made foolish choices and you're the victims, and we have all kinds of horrible family situations. And I praise God when I see you with us and hanging in despite that. But you can break patterns. We're not locked into a pattern that says you family is always going to be messed up. It begins with you encountering Jesus Christ and making a wise choice to follow Him. You have choices every day. And in ministry, our shepherds, our deacons, parents, people who don't have titles but who have wisdom and concern and who show mercy and who are reaching out to hurting, they see regularly people coming in with catastrophes because of foolish choices, patterns of foolish choices, and they're miserable and they're hurting. And as hard situations, and there's innocent babies and there's innocent children and innocent young adults hurt. There are people who lose their physical lives because of the foolishness of not doing it God's way, because His way is a way of love and concern and trying to provide, and He wants you to have a life here that is abundant, that is powerful, that you can have joy. And as Jared said, we sing and be joyful, because happiness is fleeting. Oh, I've heard the girls. He looked at me. The guy doesn't even brush his teeth regularly. You can have happiness. It's fleeting and it's based on often situations. But joy is something that sustains you when it's, he rejected me. Or my family is going through this. They're different things and he wants you to have joy. And he tells us, this is how. Don't be a fool. And the reason we put you into the book of Proverbs is how many times he talks about foolishness and wisdom. And a good way to understand wisdom and the benefits is to look at the horrible folly of foolishness and how they're described. And that is wisdom directly from our Creator. And it's because he loves, not because he wants to take away liberty. That's a lie from the deceiver, Satan. You should be able to do whatever you want. Those parents, those Christians, those people, they're trying to give you all those rules. If they're coming from here, it's based out of love. And those who have gained wisdom know the pain and the ugliness and the horribleness of sin and the consequences. And they are real. And we also know the joy of grace, the joy that David experienced after his horrible, foolish decisions, going from a hero to a fool. And horrible consequences. And yet in time, because of the grace of God and making wise decisions, God said, a man after my own heart. You see, he loves you. He loves us. He loved Adam and Eve. But you cannot avoid the consequences of foolish decisions. And the only way to know where wisdom comes for choices is from his word. And to listen to people who are, yes, sinners, but are godly, saved sinners who love the Word and have had enough life experience to apply it. When you look at foolishness in the context it's used, it's not talking about people who don't have a good intellect. It's talking about moral decisions. There are many highly educated fools. There are even fools that have PhDs and who mock God, who mock his creation account, who mock his word. Highly educated, intelligent fools. And there are people of humble intellectual capabilities who are people of faith who have the ability to make wise choices. And they're happy despite their circumstances, or they have joy despite their circumstances. Their car may be 25 years old and smoking, and they're driving it and smiling because they are disciples of Jesus Christ and share the hope that comes from making a wise decision, recognizing who our God is, recognizing the power of his word. It's so true that those of us who have the majority of our life behind us look to you young adults in so many ways. Oh, we see ourselves. I look at you when you're running around, whether here, we're up at Ignite, and you guys, I'm standing there watching you on the zip line. I'm watching 12-year-old girls climb that 100-foot rock, and I'm thinking, I hurt just standing here. But there was a time I didn't. I see the potential. We all see the potential. And we know that there is a deceiver who is evil, and we've experienced him. And it's not quaint. It's not, ha-ha, in the old days, you know, I did this kind of life. Everything was shameful when we made decisions to turn and listen to that serpent in whatever form he comes and to make foolish decisions. And we don't want you to learn the hard way. We don't want you to be destroyed, because we see some make a pattern and they end up rejecting God. And sometimes we're asked, well, you do the memorial service, and we're thinking, I don't want to do that, because I know God's word and I know that they didn't make the wise decision to accept the grace that's been extended to those of us who are sinners, and to make a decision not just to get dunked in water, but to make a decision from our heart, I will allow Jesus to be my Lord. And I'm going to be thirsty for his word. And I'm going to want to be part of his people. And I'm going to love those older people who don't understand me because I see those my older brethren, and maybe I never heard the gospel. There wouldn't even be a church of his people here without them. And I'm going to love them and serve them and respect them and encourage them and have relationships with them and learn and find wise people to say, help me. And you're going to be an encouragement to us, and you will teach, and you will have lives, and you will be the light in a dark world. He's called you to that. It's not just decisions for your parents. It's not just decisions for older people. It's decisions for even young adults who recognize the power of that deceiver, who know I've been made the fool, and I don't like it, and I'm paying consequences. You see, just as in the garden, they didn't drop dead when they ate that fruit, but they began to die, and they were separated from God. And when we get to the point in life where we sin, it's the same consequences. You may not just drop dead physically. You may live to be into your 90s. I know plenty who've never made it that far. But spiritually, you are separated from God. What do we do about that? You see, in whatever form the temptation came to you, oh, it might have looked a lot better than this. It might have looked like a fresh, chilled watermelon on a hot summer day. It might look like he's the neatest, cutest guy or the cutest girl or those things. Or, you know, they told me that you just take this stuff a few times and you will feel so good and you won't get addicted. It can be in any form it comes. That is the tree. The tree of the knowledge of evil. And Satan say, you need to know this. You need to know what it feels like to be high. You need to know what it feels like to rebel. You need to know what it feels like. You need to know. But if I do that sin, won't we die? No, you will surely not die. You'll just be happy. And so that choice comes to you. And some of you have made the right choice, and some of you have made the wrong choice. We, because we are God's people, want you to have the blessings from the right choice. Do not be the fool. This is the cure. This is the answer. Choose Jesus. Choose His Word. And enjoy the consequences that will sustain you even though others may mock you for following Him, ridicule you. They may want to penalize you in your schooling and your work, but you will have the joy that comes from knowing that you have access to that tree of life, Jesus Christ, to His blood. So we just wanted to encourage you, thank you for being here, especially those of you who are able to be involved in the decision to be here. And as you continue to grow, we want to encourage you, spend time in God's Word, spend time in those Proverbs in every aspect, and choose Jesus. We all want to do that. No matter what our circumstances, at times we've been made a fool. I wish I could tell you I had not, but I'll tell you, the greatest thing I've ever done is to become a Christian. And when I fall, to turn to God and to choose to be around people who will lift me up, encourage me, extend mercy, edification, even rebuking at times. Oh, we don't like that, but I've sure needed it, and you do too. So if there's any way that we can encourage you, if you are caught up in absolute foolishness, decide to stop. Choose the Lord. If you are an adult, oh, young adult maybe, and you're at that point where you have the maturity to understand that you've been rebelling against God, you've been deceived by Satan, and you're done with that nonsense, either come up and choose to die to yourself, to be born again, and that involves repentance, confessing Jesus Christ, and being immersed in water, and coming out to be born again, to walk in new life. If you have any need, we encourage you, if we can't meet it today, the people who brought you here, you have people in your extended family, in your church, go to them and share. We want to encourage anyone who has a need to make it be known, but make the wise choice.